Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Really excited here in Billboard's New York offices. Probably the world's foremost chart authority. You know him. You know his books if you're a chart fan. Joel Whitburn is here with us today. Welcome, Joel.
Welcome. That's great to be here,
and, Gary. And Alex Fatoulis of the Billboard Charts Department. Also excited to have you, Alex.
Yes, thank you, Joel. Appreciate you taking the time to do this with us.
Well, I love being here in New York City. And the weather's perfect, and
yes,
it's great meeting everybody that I've talked to on the phone so many times. You know, it's an exciting city. It's
right.
So alive, and you don't see that in Wisconsin. But so it's fun to be here.
It's nice to visit. You wouldn't want to see that all the time, would you?
Probably not. You know, I'm a Wisconsin boy, born and raised. Yeah. So, but it's fun to be here.
All right. Well, welcome. You're a chart legend for anyone who follows the charts. Record Research is your company that you started
51 years ago.
You started research.
Yeah.
And then you started working officially with Billboard, was it 48 years ago?
1970. This would be my 48th year.
Okay. Geez. Well, tell everyone who maybe knows the name, but how did it actually start? You were a chart fan. How did you become the person who has chronicled decades and decades of chart history?
Kid from Menominee Falls doing the Billboard charts. How did that happen? Yeah, that's kind of a miracle. It's I guess the great American story or something. I don't know. Well, I had this huge record collection, and I had a real passion for doing the music. When I was about 12 years old, I was with my mother at the Greyhound bus station in downtown Milwaukee. I walked over to the newsstand and saw a Billboard for the first time. There was something about music in the headlines.
Okay.
I don't remember what, but I captured my eyes was the word music, and I just grabbed the Billboard and started paging through it, and I went from the back to the front. In the back, there was an article about baseball card vending machines. Well, I was a huge baseball card collector.
Ah.
I thought, I should do that. I should get one of those and put them in some of the drugstores around town and make some money. Then I went further, and there were these charts, you know, the top 100, you know, records, and, you know, all the songs that I recognized that I was, you know, collecting, and then the reviews and the full-page ads of Tony Bennett, Rosemary Clooney at the time, Johnny Ray. And I got real excited. So I went over to my mother, asked if I could buy the Billboard. I think it was 15 cents. And she said, of course. So I took it home and fell in love with it and talked to her. I think the subscription was, I think it was either $12 or $15 a year.
Okay.
And she gave me the money and we sent it in. And I have subscribed from that day forward. I'd been a subscriber to Billboard, and of course it would come, you know, every Monday morning it would come, and I remember coming home from high school at noon, and it would be there waiting for me, you know, and I was very excited to get it and track the new releases and the latest, you know, that were reviewed and that, make up my list, you know, keep it fresh. But my collection grew and grew and grew. And I started doing the research to find out how these records peaked on the charts. Did Chantilly Lace, was that a number one record?
Right.
Make the top 20? Did it, you know, where did that thing peak? my other records, Ricky Nelson, you know, how many in a row did he have that were number one or top 10? Things like that piqued my interest. So I got out some 3x5 cars and I started documenting this on little, just for as a hobby. Well, you know, the cards grew and grew and grew and they grew, you know, I had several boxes full. And I was working for RCA Records. This was later in the 60s.
Right.
And I was able to meet a lot of disc jockeys. And I mentioned to them my little project. You know, hey, I've got cards that tell the complete discography of any artist, you know. It tells you the date and the peak position, the weeks charted. And it tells you in order their hits, including B-sides if they charted. And I remember George Wilson, who owned WOKY in Milwaukee, and he owned other stations in Texas and that. He said, that would be a godsend if we had something like that. We have nothing to refer to when an artist comes to town and we interview him. For instance, I think it was James Darren came to town for Summerfest, and he mentioned, you know, my first three hits were all number one. And well, everybody accepted that.
Right.
You know, well, James Darren never had a number one hit. But, you know, he had no proof, so he just told everybody, hey, my first three songs were all number one.
Right.
So I got the idea to publish a little book, put this together, get it typeset. I went to the bank, got a loan to print the book. And that's a long story. But anyhow, so I printed the book and put a little 1/50-second ad in Billboard, because that's all I could afford back then. And it caught the eye of the publisher, Hal Cook, in L.A. At that time was where the publisher was, in Los Angeles. And after, I think, the second or third week, it caught his eye. It said, every song to make the Hot $150. And he got a hold of me. And he said, Joel, you know, this is Hal Cook from Billboard. You know, I almost fainted. You know, I talked to a guy from Billboard. I'm in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, you know. He said, you know, you can't use the name Hot 100. That's copyright and blah, blah, blah. He says, you just can't do that, Joel. I said, well, you know, it's a book on the history of your chart, and I didn't know what else to call it. He said, send me a copy of the book. So I did. He gave me his address and all that, and I sent a copy, and I thought I was doomed. That was the end of it. Well, about two weeks passed, and he called back, and he said, Joel, I love the book.
Yeah.
I love the book. He said, can you come out to L.A., and let's talk about a license agreement? I couldn't believe it. And he said, you know, bring your wife, and we'll put you up at the Beverly Hilton. And they did. I mean, we flew out there. He paid for the plane because, you know, I didn't have money back then,
right.
You know. And they picked me up at his Mercedes-Benz at the airport and took us to his office there and took us up to his home, which was up in the hills. He lived right next door to Dickie Smothers of the Smothers Brothers.
Oh, okay.
That was his neighbor. Showed me his beautiful home there, you know, and took me down to the ocean there and showed us everything. And we spent the whole week. Took us to the Johnny Carson show, and we had a great time. And I ended up coming back with a 26-page license agreement.
Yeah.
He gave me the exclusive rights to mine, M-I-N-E, to mine the Billboard charts in exchange that I would pay a royalty.
Okay.
To Billboard. And I thought that was fair.
Had you thought about that beforehand when you were putting this out?
Were you
worried that you might
not
be allowed to do
that? I didn't think anything about it, really.
Yeah.
You know, the book was called Record Research on the Outside.
Okay.
I hadn't even thought of a title. It was just on a little orange cover. And inside there was just A to Z by artists from 55 to 69.
Okay.
Because they came out in 1970. And there was no title section, no trivia, nothing. And that's all it was. The discography is from 55 to 69. And it just said Record Research.
Of the Hot 100? It was all based
on the Hot 100. It was just the Hot 100. No bubbling or anything else.
Right. And early
charts. Well, actually, it was the top pop charts.
Right, before the Hot 100.
It was the top 100, the disc jockey jukebox and that we did before the Hot 100 started. So that was in one book. But it didn't say Hot 100 on it. But in the ad, I did say Hot 100. Every Hot 100. And I had that in quotes, and that's what caught his eye. And he said, in order to use that, you have to get permission, and we'll have to set up a license agreement. So I'm starting my 48th year as a licensee of Billboard.
Right.
Awesome. And I've done 15 editions of that book.
Just that one book.
Yeah,
just
now it's called Top Singles. Just that book, yeah. Right. My daughter Kim is here. Kim, how many books have we published?
You know? I think it's 159 now.
Yeah, that we've published 159. We've done country.
I have most of them.
R&B, rock, adult contemporary, Christmas, top pop albums.
Right.
Pop annual.
Sometimes they'll just take the top 10.
Pop memories, which... Yeah,
that was a great book.
Yeah, that goes way back to the 1800s.
Seymour Stein said it's the greatest book ever published in music.
It's amazing.
Ever. Pop memories, because he said that book, you know, outlines the whole history of an era that nobody's ever touched. You know, Louis Armstrong. And all the blues singers.
Early Frank
Sinatra. Bessie Smith and all those people. It's all documented in that book.
The jazz bands.
The jazz bands.
It's phenomenal.
Remind me again what that's based on. Was it sheet music?
It was based on a lot of things. Sheet music. There was articles in different hobbies magazines about the top sellers. And then the labels themselves published their top 10 lists each week. RCA Victor and Columbia and that. So what we did is we researched at the Library of Congress for 3 years... That era, that 30-year era, took 3 years to research it. Just like Billboard does, we had to collate all that data from sources and put each week together to get the top 10 hits each week. But it's such a great era.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
There's such great blues songs and jazz songs. Yeah. It's amazing. And Seymour Stein said that's the greatest book ever published on the history of music. Pop memories.
Right. What's interesting to me is you're talking about how artists were saying they were number one. There was no way to check it. And Billboard wasn't tracking it. You're sort of the father of inventing the term peak position.
Yeah, I invented that word.
Yeah?
Yeah, there was no such word as peak position. That I invented that little P-E-A-K-P-O-S.
How cool was that?
Yeah, I did that. That was my invention. And the way the book is set up with the columns and everything. And, of course, now Billboard uses it, and it's a great term,
every
actually.
Every
day. Right?
Every day.
Around the world, chart fans.
Yeah.
It's a great
term, I think.
And interesting that you saw baseball cards. You sort of equate following the charts, because we sort of look at it the same way, right? The way we study numbers in sports, we sort of do that with charts. Or at least
I think
chart
that's
fans.
What helped me with my research and records was, my... When I age 9, 10, 11, and that, collecting and, making sure I got complete sets with the numbers and, the stats on the back. I used to read all those stats.
Right.
The ERA and the batting average and all that. So I was insanely interested in all that. I don't know why. And especially, the big players, Stan Musial, Duke Snyder, and all people like that. I was just fascinated with their stats.
Right.
But organizing it, and the tops versus the Bowman and that, and keeping everything separate. And then when I got into records, it was just the same way. I had my charts, and I had to organize all the Fats Dominoes and get them in order with the A side first and the B side second. And if I was missing it, I had to get it.
Right.
So then I was on these tremendous searches for these records that I missed. So I started buying out collections. Record shops that went out of business all over the United States, from South Carolina to Pennsylvania to Detroit. We took trips all over when we found out there were record shops going out of business.
It had to be fun.
It was fun. And then I would get these huge collections, and I would have my basement set up with these huge racks for 45s, and we'd sort everything.
Right.
And then I would take what I needed that made the charts. And I would take all that and everything else. The collectors could come in and they could buy everything that was left for a quarter.
Oh, okay.
And I'm telling you, there was Johnny and Dorsey Burnett.
What about trading some of it for what you were missing?
No, I just wanted to get rid of them so I could bring in another collection. And they were getting records that were today $400 or $500 each.
Yeah.
The Dorsey Burnett Trio, things like that.
And what is the most expensive collectible record that you have in the collection?
The Butcher album. I've got a stereo version that's still sealed, and I have a monaural. I have both a stereo and a monaural.
And
unpeeled,
unpeeled.
You know what I mean? When by I saw that?
It was so great to go there and see that record.
Right, Alex. You've seen the house,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I saw the house. I wanted to say, I'm moving here. I want to live here.
I've had guys amazing. Walk in my vault, Gary, from record shops and things, from, you know, with Chicago and that. And I remember one guy came, he just came and said, oh, my legs are I just feel weak. I thought that guy was going to faint.
Yeah.
Honest. I've got this weirdest feeling. He just stepped in and there were these big aisles and aisles and aisles.
So it's every awesome. Song that's ever made the Billboard
Hot 100. Every song is in that ever made it.
In your what house. Are you missing?
Yeah. Nothing.
It was funny. Kim was saying before how when you were first building the vault in your house, she saw all the cement. She thought you were putting a pool in. She was all excited. Then she realized, oh, of course, it's for the music. Of course it is.
And it's climate controlled. That almost made me weep when I was there. That is climate controlled.
That's all climate controlled. It has its own furnace.
How long did that take to build?
It's amazing.
How what?
How long did it take to build?
Oh, it wasn't that long. No. I don't know, maybe 4 months, four months it took. The big diggers came in, you know, and they put up the walls, all cement. But the main thing was the top. They had to put layers of cement and then layers of waterproofing and then more cement. And then when they were done, you know, it was very well insulated from even a bomb, probably, you know, with the side walls. They poured double cement blocks all around and then 3-hour fire doors on each end.
Okay.
So if there was a fire, even it would take 3 hours to burn through those doors. And then there was this huge cement slab, double cement slab on top of the vault outside. But I was still worried a lightning strike might crack it and water could get into this collection, which was worth millions.
Right.
You know? So I built a gymnasium on top of it. I put in a basketball gym. So there's a basketball gym with a huge roof and everything over the top of it. And that took 3 or 4 months to build.
Right.
I think it's pretty well protected.
You could charge admission, right? If people wanted to come in. Do people ever ask? Or have you ever
they
thought
do,
about
but
that?
We turn them down.
Yeah.
We have big groups of disc jockeys that have come that will call and say they're going to be there. On occasion I have, and I'll let a big group in or something with their cameras and stuff, you know, and then they want to see certain records that they don't believe exist and stuff.
Right.
You know, they're clicking, you know, all the camera, different angle, turn the record over, you know.
Right. What did you think of it, Alex, when you were there? What was the experience?
I was in total awe. Yeah. It was amazing, because being a fan of music and then a collector myself since I was a kid.
And how it's organized, right?
And just how it's organized and everything is there. They know where everything is.
Yeah.
Does it make you sad that nowadays so much is digital and now certain releases are just streaming only?
Yeah.
Not even
we still digitally make a CD for every Bubbling Under single and every Hot 100 single. Because I still like to see that library. I'd see those trays of singles, you know.
Right. Do you go into the library and pick things out and play them, or is it all just storage at this point?
I still like pulling a tray of 45s.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing.
Putting them on.
And just setting it down and just going, oh, yeah. I love putting the needle on the record. Still the greatest thing in the world.
Still the greatest sound. Yeah.
So pulling a, you know, like a Beatles album.
Right.
And just, you know, putting that thing on and just listening to it. I don't know, Led Zeppelin or, you know, Metallica. I just love it. All kinds of music.
Yeah. Know? So you're. I know you're a big Duane Eddy fan. You like a lot of early rockabilly kind of sound.
And Elvis.
Yeah. The three E's. Elvis.
Yeah.
Everly's.
Right.
Eddy.
Yeah.
My top three.
Yeah.
It was because of Duane Eddy that I bought a guitar in 1958 when he came out with Rebel Rouser. I went nuts over that record. I couldn't believe that Duane, that deep, dark guitar. I went downtown walking. I bought a guitar and I imitated all his songs.
Yeah.
Cannonball and 40 Miles of Bad Road, Because They're Young, all of his records. And then we became good friends. I mean, he invited me to his house. I've had dinner there, you know. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. He came to my daughter's wedding. He came to Kim's wedding when she got married. He flew in from Franklin, Tennessee.
Awesome.
He and his wife, Deed. It was just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I took him up to my lake home. We went four-wheeling together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got pictures of them, and they had a big article in our little Long Lake News. Duane Eddy was here at the lake. You know?
Have you played music on any professional level or just as a hobby?
No. I wrote a song, and I remember playing that down in my basement, my rec room. I had a big jukebox, and I had a friend that had drums, and he'd come over, and We would just play. We'd do the Turtles and the Rascals. Remember those, the 60s era? Gloria by, you know.
Right.
What was the song? All that kind of stuff.
What was the song you wrote, Joel? Let's give it the official Billboard.
Well, it was called Wheatfields.
It's a part of Billboard now.
Really, I mentioned it during the podcast. I had like four verses. I mean, it was.
I won't ask you to sing it.
That's enough of that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
For record research now. When new issue of Billboard comes out, there's all these new charts, you guys updating everything.
Yeah, you and your staff. Week. You have a remarkable staff that you work with there.
We do. We have a real remarkable staff. Very loyal. They've been with me for 25, 30, 35 years. Yes. And, of course, my daughter, she's been with me since she was in the crib in my office. I think even then she was sorting records for me. A typical day or typical week. Well, we get the advanced charts.
Right.
On Billboard Information Network. Is that what you call it? Or Billboard Plus?
Billboard Plus now.
Yeah, we get the advanced charts Monday night, and which is kind of exciting. I like that, to get the advanced charts. And then we go into it, and we have to get the new releases. A lot of them we have from the week before, because a lot of them come from the bubbling chart. So we have those. Those we don't have, they may have been on an album or two that we have. What we don't have, we have to go to iTunes and buy. And we get everything that makes the Hot 100 and the Bubbling 100 chart. And we make sure we're covered there, because we have everything from 1940 on. We're not missing. So we don't want to end up missing anything.
Right. Yep.
And there are some, you know, there's still stuff that gets to 125 for 1 week, you know, at the Bubbling chart. And yep. But we have it. We collect it and we record it, and it goes into my archive, and it's nice. So if there's any question, I can go into and call up an artist or a title, and instantly know Lil Wayne, everything that he's either been featured on or
right.
is a lead artist.
Do you update, like, for the Top Pop Singles book? When do you week by week update that information, or when you go to do a new version, do you then backlog maybe the last year's worth of hits?
Well, when we do Top Pop Singles, then we get the whole thing combined from 55 on, or whatever the beginning is, to the end. We get one whole new printout. And then I go through and edit the whole thing again.
Is there a database where week by week you're updating chart information, or you do it in blocks when it's time to do a new version?
No, we do it week by week.
Okay.
Week by week. Everything is updated, and everything's sorted into its proper place, and I also update mine by year, and then I like, for instance, 2016 right now, I have a, what do they call that on the side, the playlist.
Right.
I have a playlist for 2016. I have everything sorted right now from the number one biggest hit through the least hit.
Yeah.
Number 125. Every week I update that, so I know what the top 40 hits are instantly of the year so far.
And what are some of the current stuff, because you've been following this since its inception, that nowadays you hear and you're like, that's a hit?
I think, like I mentioned, the Chainsmokers. I thought they were really good. I just liked their sound.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else. I mean, I still like some of my old favorites. Like I like Pink a lot. I always like her sound. She had a recently a hit that didn't do real much, and I like that song a lot.
Just Like Fire.
Yeah. Got to the top 10 for a week.
Yeah, did for 1 week, but that was it. I thought, I think this thing has a chance to maybe go number one again.
Yeah, the streaming, I think, never quite kicked in.
Was that it? Point.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed
And the
in
movie
that.
Flopped that it was from, yeah. So I think that can play into the acceptance of a song.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, what other groups do I like, or duos or artists? Ariana Grande, kind of like her. Selena Gomez, you know, her stuff is pretty good. Who else? What else that really hits me when they release something new? I like some of the country artists.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brad Paisley I like a lot.
Yeah, he mixes
Keith
traditional.
Urban I like.
Yeah, they still kind of mix some traditional stuff with newer.
I like the way you blend that in the country into the Hot 100 because it's always fresh when I go through and I play. I like to go through and play parts of the whole Top 40 or something, you know, to get a feel again of what's going on and what's hot. And it's kind of nice when you get to a country song if you're hearing a lot of the same kind of dance music or something. I kind of like hearing some country, you know.
Do you listen to radio a lot?
No, I don't have time.
No?
I don't. People tell me, you're listening to, what do you listen to? I said, my own.
Yeah.
I said, I've got so much new music to listen to. We got the country charts, the R&B charts, the Hot 100, the Bumaker. I've got to listen to, you know, maybe 20, 30 new songs, and I've got to listen to them. Then I've got to try to listen to what happened the week before because I got to refresh myself.
Right.
You know, and keep up with these new artists and that, you know, because you look at this week's top 20, there's a lot of new artists that weren't on there a year ago.
Right.
Yeah.
A ton of new artists.
Yeah. Yeah, streaming
is a
part of
big
that. A lot of
key to that.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
And,
because, I mean, it's a whole new playing field now with that music has such an infinite reach now.
Were you ever much of a live music person? You go to a lot of shows?
I used to go to everyone that came through.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the labels would get me in. You know, Elton John came to town. They'd get me in Chicago, and I'd go backstage before the thing and talk to him. You know, I had a book to give him. Oh, I got all your stuff, Joel.
Yeah.
He didn't want the book. I got all your books.
Does that happen with other artists?
No, I think...
That's very cool.
I think Peter Frampton said he had my book when I had one. I got that book, he said. McCartney, somebody stole it. I gave it to the guy who was standing by the door. I had my pass, and I was waiting to go backstage. And the guy said, "Here, I'll give it to Paul or something. Just wait here." And then I saw the guy running down the hall with my book. When I got back to see Paul, I said, "Did you like the book?" "What book?" he said. So I had to send him a book. And later on, Duane Eddy was in Hollywood. He was invited to do a music soundtrack for, I can't think of his name, the guy that did, I can't think of his name, Hans Zimmer.
Right.
And Paul McCartney had my book. And Duane Eddy ran into him and he showed him the book. And that's how Duane got my phone, got my name. And Duane called me. And I came home one day and there was a message from Duane Eddy. I think I almost fainted.
It's a good thing it was stolen.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I thought it was somebody playing a prank because I knew I liked Duane Eddy. I thought it was a prank.
Nice.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, who would
my
think?
My idol. I mean, there was a phone message from Duane Eddy.
I know. It's amazing being in this industry and if you get to meet that artist that was your favorite.
Yeah.
And it's very special to be able
to do
that.
I used to do it. I did Stevie Nicks, Kenny Rogers, Sting. Kim was with me, right, Kim? We got to meet Sting backstage. The other two were pretty distant. They were walking around. They didn't see me. But Sting was really nice. Everybody that came through town, we'd go to see, you know, back then. And
that's
then
awesome.
I kind of got tired of it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I just, I still go to the big ones like the Rolling Stones when they come.
Yeah.
And Kim, I get her tickets for U2 because that's her favorite
when
they come. And but for me, you know, there's a lot of bands, oldies coming through, and I just don't feel like going anymore. I did it so much. You know, you get tired of waiting backstage for your name. You wait. Oh, Johnny Mathis came at Christmas.
Wow.
And he wanted to meet me because he had been using my books, mentioning that he was the number one adult contemporary. I mean, adult contemporary.
Right.
A male vocalist or something. And
it's my mom's favorite.
So he was coming to the Riverside Theater, which is a beautiful theater. And,
nice.
And we got backstage passes after the concert. And he gave my sister a big kiss. She was a huge fan. And she couldn't believe that. So we got a real nice.
Yeah.
So that was the latest, was Johnny Mathis.
That's going to be pretty surreal. You meet these artists and they're excited to meet you because you've been tracking
their
careers.
Neat because his manager was there. Oh, get that information from him. Get that information from Joel. Because I mentioned my two favorite Christmas songs by him. What they were in Johnny mode. Oh, yeah. And the guy kept running. Get that information. We need that. You know, it was kind of funny.
Right. Yeah, he's one of the kings of Christmas music. And we're almost
for
that,
sure.
That time of the year, we're going to start hearing all the Christmas music.
For sure, so I wanted to bring that up to
his
him.
His voice is flawless.
Right.
And to this day, he still
sounds.
He just
walked out with this brown suit looking immaculate. Yeah. No flares, you know, and at the end he did the song Brazil with his orchestra. Oh my gosh. Exciting.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Sensational.
One of the greatest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So record research continues today. You still put out books, although there's more of an online component. You can subscribe to the website and look up information online, but you're still putting out books. You still like to actually have the hard copies of books.
Yeah,
to put
I
out
do,
there,
and
right?
I think our customers do. We do have e-books, and our customers tell us, don't stop your print books because they love the...
Right.
Especially top-up singles. That thing is... just
heavy,
amazing.
Heavy, heavy book.
Yeah, it's heavy. It's about 6 pounds.
I keep joking, saying you can use these as weights.
It's an added benefit.
But it's just amazing, and it's amazing to see everything in one place.
Right.
And
We keep adding little features and little
specialties
for our customers, and they seem to like that little trippy stuff we put in.
Definitely. This came out on a different record before or after. And then, he's... You know, you always seems to be updating it because you always find new things that you never knew about.
This song was originally released in 1953 or something, you know, and this is a newer version or whatever. But we keep hunting and looking and searching. Yeah. So we keep putting updating notes in there for our customers, and they love to see that stuff.
And some of them, collectors come out of the woodworks and tell him, I have this with this.
Oh, yeah, collectors send us notes. If they find something that's not in my book,
it's
great.
Yeah.
Or if they find a picture sleeve that's not noted, they'll send me a copy or something. I mean, we have great relations with our customers all across the world.
Right.
From, Japan.
A person on Twitter, Rock Golf, is a big chart fan. He tweets a lot about charts. Wondering, Joel, if you're putting out a UK charts book. Have you done anything with UK charts?
No. The UK charts are so screwed up. We went through and did a whole history of all the UK charts, put them all together, the ones that were number one, and noted that the number ones in my latest top-up singles book.
Yeah.
I did that as a favor because we get so much requests for that.
Right.
But the UK charts are really screwed up. The government's been trying to do it. Other people have tried to do it. And they really have not done a really good job. That's about all I want to say about it.
I know different companies, it's passed hands through many different companies over the years because we get tons of requests because at certain times over the years we've had licensing agreements with the companies that were handling it, but it wasn't our charts.
No.
And then for a short time, there. Charts that we did put out were via us, via whoever was putting them. We had an agreement with. Uh-huh. They were Billboard UK charts, but it was such a short time because those companies keep going under and they switch hands, and it's so hard to find those back information.
In those early years, it just kept changing hands and changing hands, and then they find out that this company was all corrupt or something. And then the government took over. And you can imagine the government trying to do the charts. That got corrupt. And all these bad things kept coming out about them. And stories would come out. So I just didn't want to do a book. I would love to do, if I knew that the UK charts were exact and right and you know, good, I would do a complete book on the UK charts. I'd love to do a book.
Yeah, if you can get the information, because it's hard to even find. I get people calling.
Well, I've had, you know, different ones from the UK call me and tell me they could provide that if I wanted to. But even they say, you know, Joel, you probably don't want to do it. Because there's been too many complaints, and if you did it, people are just going to continue to criticize it.
But were, at the time, with the information they had, was that what was considered number one? Whether, regardless of it being corrupt, because we know in this industry throughout the years, everywhere in the world, there has been some shadiness, shall we say.
Yeah. Well,
but if this was what the true chart was at that time, to be able to compile that, because that's what they said.
This is what happened.
This is what they said, regardless of what
true it might be.
Yeah, exactly. So, because these artists are saying, I was number one on the UK charts, or I was top 10, that seems to be proof enough, regardless of the shadiness behind
it. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, that's the great thing about Billboard. They're a great name. It's a great brand name. They've always been number one, and they've always been top notch. And the people I've worked with way back in 1970, from Hal Cook through all the Babcocks, John Babcock Jr., Sr., up through Applebaum and Kilcullen, and I mean, all of the ones that I've worked with. I don't know how many publishers I've worked with.
Many.
They're all great.
Yeah.
They've been wonderful. The editors, Timothy...
Timothy White.
Timothy White.
Yeah.
Who ever was a better editor in the history of music than Timothy White? Who could write better stories about music than Timothy White?
Yeah.
I never got to meet him. He seemed like the biggest music fan.
What an amazing person.
We met him a few
amazing
times
person.
Out here. We sat with him. And
yeah.
Just the greatest guy you ever wanted to meet.
He was.
And all these guys, I mean, Mr. Littleford came out to my house in Menominee Falls and walked around my house with me. Mr. W.D. Littleford, the grandson of the founder of Billboard.
Right.
And I remember walking down, I think it was, what is one of the main streets in New York, when I did the Billboard Book of Top 40 Hits,
Broadway.
The first edition, and it made the top six of the New York Times bestseller. And he took us out to dinner. And who was that with again? The editor?
Oh, Lee Zito?
Lee Zito.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember him. But Lee Zito and Littleford took Bill Hathaway and I down out for dinner. We were walking down. We went into this bookstore up on the second floor, and there was a big stack of Billboard Book of Top 40 Hits sitting there. And I remember Littleford just poked Lee Zito and said, "Look at that, look at that." He was so proud to see, you know, the Billboard Book of Top 40 Hits, because Lee Zito had played the devil's advocate when he was at my house. Like, who would ever be interested in just buying a book on chart positions?
Yeah.
As a devil's advocate.
Right. I mean,
he really thought it would be great. Because I was trying to talk him into doing a mass market book, a spinoff of my books.
Right.
Because my books were expensive and they were going to a niche market, you know.
Right.
Disc jockeys and the music professionals. Yep. And I thought there would be a market for the mass market, for fans, you know. And that's how we did the Billboard Book of Top 40 Hits. And there it was in this New York store.
Was Casey Kasem involved with...
He wanted to be. He used to call me, and he used to say, "Joel, what can we do together?" He wanted to do something with me, so I let him do an introduction in one of my top 40 books. And that's all I let him do, because I didn't know what else I could let him do. I didn't want to let him get involved in my publishing.
Yeah.
Because he started with Hal Cook, and they gave him the right to do the broadcasting,
right.
And they gave me the right to do the publishing. We started together. Out in L.A. So he went his way and I went my way. Well, he didn't like pop music. You know, he was a, right?
Big classical fan.
Classical music.
Right.
He told me that on the phone many times. You know, "Joel, I really don't like that pop music." He just didn't like it. But he did it, you know, he
respected
cartoon voices and that.
Yeah.
He liked light classical and show tunes and stuff like that. That's all he listened to. But he wanted to do something in the book area, because my books were really taking off and I was really getting to R&B and all these other genres, and he was only into the top 40, so he wasn't branching out enough.
Okay.
And I said, "What can we do? I got it with Joel." So he kept calling me, and I said, "There is nothing we can do, Casey." I said, "You've got your niche." I said,
"It's like trying to buy a record from
people love you." I said, "People are keeping track of your charts." I said, "What? Just keep doing what you're doing." Oh, Joel, he'd swear.
But you both started around the same time, around
we started 1970.
Together. Yeah. So
we were both invited out to his place, and then he got the agreement the same time I did. We both got our agreements, license agreements, and we started off at the same time.
Hello again, and welcome to American Top 40. My name's Casey Kasem, and I'm ready to count down the most popular songs in the nation. First off, I want to say thank you to Daryl Hall and John Oates for sitting in for me last week while I was away. Sounded like they really had a lot of fun. Now I'm back and all set to go with the latest survey of radio stations and record stores across the USA, the official Billboard chart. 5 debuts.
All right, what else is coming up for record research for you, Joel? What are the next steps?
Kim, what is that thing that we're looking into?
We're just looking at online reading right now. We're developing that through our ebook publisher, where people can just log onto the internet. They'll have their own copy of PDFs of our book, where they can make notes. We're thinking about doing e-flashcards, where they could challenge each other to games and share it and make up your own, whatever you want to do with that information. Through study notes and flashcards. Something a little bit more interactive for the customer.
Right. But you're still updating the book, New Pop, Top Pop Singles.
Which just came out.
And it's been a huge
awesome
success.
Book.
Yeah, it's been doing really well.
Yeah.
And we're updating the new R&B book.
Yes, which is...
And I'm looking on the cover. I'm looking for stuff from the 40s because it starts in 42. So I'm looking through Billboard for some of those little R&B ads like...
Oh, right.
For Lucky Millinder and T-Bone Walker and some of those really early ones to mix in with the artists from today. So it's going to be a beautiful cover.
Yeah.
And that'll be from 42. It'll go through, we're going to cut off, I think Paul said, the end of October charts.
Oh, okay.
And then we got to get it to press.
Nice.
And then we'll probably do update country.
That would be good,
and I think we're gonna include both country charts.
That'd be awesome.
We're getting too many requests. People are mad at us if we don't do the airplay.
Airplay and hot country songs.
Well, airplay because airplay is
so different.
It's
more number ones.
Turnover. You got Florida Georgia Line sitting there for 19 weeks now.
It was 18.
Got 18.
18 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and
kicked out this week by Peter Pan.
Oh.
Kelsey Ballerini.
Yeah. She went number one. Both charts. The first time it's happened on that chart since we launched.
No, I didn't get the advanced charts because I was in New York City.
Yeah.
So I missed that.
So, yes.
That's how exciting the charts are, see? If I miss,
can't miss
if I miss a Monday,
right?
Look what I miss. The excitement.
I know.
No Florida Georgia Line, number one on the country charts.
That's part of what I love working here. It's like you're on the pulse of everything and you get to see everything. I get to help.
One of my favorite charts is a AAA chart. I love that.
Yeah.
Probably because of the music. It appeals to me so much. I love that.
Well, that's 20 years old this year. So you could do a book for the first 20 years of that.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that I picked Billboard to do my research.
Right.
For one thing, you're still in business.
Yeah.
All the other charts went away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have gone under every one of them. Yep. I used to love the Gavin Report, that little magazine that would come.
Yeah.
He had great little stories. I used to love reading that every week. I used to have a place where I kept all of my trades. I had them all piled up.
Well, see, a big thank you, Joel, from everyone here at Billboard.
Thank you.
For what you've done for Billboard over the years. It's been such a win-win for you.
Well, Gary, I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Thanks for continuing to do such a stellar job.
Great.
With what you
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it. It's great to be associated with a great name like Billboard. What a great name you guys have. And it's an honor. And we've had just a great relationship, I hope it continues for a long time. I know my daughter's in line, and She knows it from top to bottom, so I hope we can keep going.
She's not
going
to turn that vault into a swimming pool.
Oh!
Finally, right?
Or an ice skating rink. She likes ice skating.
I'll stop giving ideas.
Yeah. All right, Gary.
Thank you so much, Joel.
Yeah, thank you.